Now, recording live from the SEC Pub, it's the BS and Beer Podcast crew with your host, David Romero.
Welcome back. It's hour number two, the BS and Beer Podcast crew. Dave Romero, that's me. Heath Elsenson, that's this guy right here. And then we have Tomas Mauricio, the legend, the man, the myth. My dude, if you missed it the last hour, we had the first Tomas rant.
He
took it easy on us. But still good stuff. I think if we'd let everybody read the text messages, I think they'd have got a better feel for it. But yeah. I'm fresh off my vacation from Cancun. Excited. The first time, our new audience.
Yes.
Northern Louisiana.
Yes.
Ruston, Monroe. These guys are out there, and they're just like glued to the radio. And for the first time, I can say something like this that I've been waiting to say. Turn it up and rip off the knob. I've been wanting to say that for a long time, and I just the first chance I get, because we do podcasts.
That's right.
There's no knob, Jim. There's just a little skip ahead 15-second button. You know,
yep, it's like, that's
about it.
Yeah. So anyway,
I'll turn that volume up.
We talked a little earlier. We had our good, bad, and ugly. Our first Tomas rant. It was a little mild, but you know, still good stuff.
We know my opinion's better than five.
We learned that a long time ago. We had our Camp Beast designation, so we kind of figured out who the Camp Beast. We even defined it. We still didn't write it down. So next year, we'll have the same conversation because we didn't know. And going forward.
And I didn't give my Camp Beast, but go ahead.
You didn't get your Camp Beast. No, we ran out of time.
You just ran up ahead to Big Hill.
You know, I don't know why. That's because I figured that's why. Because you're mean to me. I mean.
Well, I mean, go run to your mommy, okay?
I'm just.
Now, who's responsible for this unwarranted attack on my person?
I got that just for you.
Just for me.
Just for you. Oh, Foghorn Leghorn, for when you over there being mean to me. Leghorn.
Oh, okay.
I'm sorry. I had a Cancun moment. In the next segment, we're going to have an injury report and some news. And also, we're going to do our first SaintsReport.com report. We're going to go on the message board. You know, they're our partners. We're the official podcast of SaintsReport.com. It's the best message board out on the internet, bar none, in my opinion. It's very well moderated. You don't get all that nonsense where, you know, you guys are saying all kind of foul things. It's very well kept, and you can find a lot of guys who know a lot about football out there, so it's important. Now, the other big thing that we were talking about that we need to – where's that information, Tomas? We need to talk about the Pick'em contest in the last segment, the bottom of the hour. We're going to have our first Pick'em. Now, it's not too late for you guys to join in. First of all, it's a Yahoo Pick'em League. The number, the ID number is 30242, and the password – is BS and beer. Luckily, I knew what the password is, because trying to read Tomas's handwriting is like trying to figure out what your prescription is going to be at the doctor's office.
That's why I'm Dr.
Yeah,
Mauricio.
That's what you are, Dr. Mauricio, by the way. Listen, it's not too late to join. It won't be too late to join until like after week three, because what I do is we designate 2 weeks where the low score falls off. No, it's 2 weeks,
and I
like the people. I'm trying to get more people in.
good.
But 2 weeks where, let's say you don't get into the contest, you can still get in because your low score, which would be a zero, obviously, because you didn't play,
right,
would go away. So you're not at any disadvantage. So you can get on today. You can get on the rest of the week all the way till Monday when the Saints are going. Or actually, there's a game this weekend. So I have a one-track mind. It's Saints on Monday night.
Yeah.
So you have to get in before Saturday so that you can be in this week. But if you don't get in for the next 2 weeks, you would just be at a disadvantage because you don't have your throwaway week where if you go on vacation or something or forget to do it. So anyway, so you're going to want to do that. Jump in there with us. Win some money. $160 in prizes that we're giving out. Cash prizes. Coming right out of Tomas's pocket.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. So anyway, we have our NFC South report. A little bit later, Brian Bienemy of ESPN 100.3 FM in New Orleans. He is our NFC South correspondent. Is that the right way? We can give him a title?
Yeah, sure.
I'm going to have to get with him. He might want to be the vice president of something or another, yeah. Man. You know, but no, he's a great guy, very knowledgeable.
Send him to our attorneys.
Our attorney, yeah, we'll have him write up a fancy letter, strongly worded letter, explaining some stuff. And then, like I said, the bottom
Dewey,
hour.
Dewey, whatever.
You know. Dewey, Cheatham, and Howe? Yeah, that's our attorneys there, right there. All right. Okay. Tomas, since you were all upset, and I don't want you to be angry with me, you didn't get your Camp Beast. I just assumed that I got it for you, but you know, if you wanna think on it a little bit,
no.
We could play some music.
He's number 27.
Ah, Damian
Swan. Defensive back number 27.
It's kind of late for that. He's a gone pecan, brother.
Well, yeah, but didn't we say, isn't that how you define the Camp Beast?
I thought you said you were going on offense.
Well, I was going to. I changed my mind.
Go ahead. Don't let Heath interrupt you no more.
That's okay. Well, I was going to go. I can go on offense. That's fine.
No, it's fine. Go
you know,
ahead.
I have two Camp Beasts.
There you go.
Okay.
You
know, all right.
But our boy number 27, whoever was like, oh, man, you know, he's going to come back and be healthy. What did he do? Beat like a drum.
I think his brains are still scrambled.
Yeah.
Damian Swan is the guy he's talked to. He likes to just throw it obscure. Like, okay, if you want to get used to the Tomas vernacular, you'll have to understand when he says wooden Indian, that's a reference to Paul Kruger.
That's right.
And the wooden Indian is now the point of reference for anyone who doesn't play very well.
Well, but now.
Oh, then he throws in the wooden nickel.
Wooden nickel.
Now, I don't think that was on purpose, but that they can be used interchangeably.
Yes. That's correct. So the wooden nickel, because he'd be playing a nickelback.
Okay.
There you go.
Perfect.
So Swan has done, everybody's ranting around. Oh, we got the car. Yeah. Okay.
Well, and I was one of those guys. I mean, he had what I thought to be a pretty solid rookie year.
He did.
And I thought he would be a contributor in the last
year. He got his brain scrambled.
Yeah, and everybody talking about his OTA was so good. And I was like, no, this guy ain't going to. And sure enough. Now, you want to know my offensive guy?
Yeah.
Here's another one of Dave's people.
Here we go.
I was watching this guy play on the offensive line. And
I don't know where he's going with this.
I was watching this guy play on the offensive line. He couldn't extend his arms. He couldn't move his feet. This is a guy that Dave was so hot about. Last year, you know, I gave this list of who I thought was going to make the team, and Dave's always like, oh, you put everybody on the list. But Dave had one guy that he said, oh, this guy, I don't know how he didn't go drafted. Man, this guy's going to be tremendous on our offensive line. From North Carolina State.
Landon Turner.
There you go.
I'm sitting here thinking, who in the world, how can he?
Oh my gosh, this guy's got such slow feet.
Okay, this.
He's gotten beat. I mean, he made Khalifa Barnes look like an all pro.
He's got T Rex legs.
What am I?
Exactly.
Boy.
You're a loudmouth schnook.
Look at here, son.
All right. I don't know. You see, you come up with these things. Now we're on the radio. People just getting in and out of their cars. They don't know. They're going to start believing all this stuff you're saying.
That's true.
That's why they have to go get the podcast so they can hear all of it.
And where can we find that podcast,
you know what?
Dave?
If they went over to iTunes and looked up BS and Beer Saints, because you know I'm a franchise now.
Yeah.
I also have a BS and Beer Kentucky.
You're not supposed to be mentioning these things on
just
this
saying,
show.
Just saying.
I don't think so,
I'm just trying to be influential. Yeah.
Nah, we don't need no cross promotion.
No cross promotion. If we're going to cross promote, Heath and I are about to start up a new podcast ourselves.
They just mad because
the BS and Beer LSU Tiger.
That would be I'd listen to that one.
Now, they might listen to us here in Ruston. I'm just saying.
I think they would enjoy that. Yeah. I would. Okay. So you were saying. No, I was saying.
Yeah.
Which one was it?
Landon Turner.
Oh boy, here we go. No, I did. I was hopeful.
He was
an All-American in college.
See, there you go.
But he has two legs.
And you're saying like people aren't going to believe? They believe. Look at how excited his eyes are twinkling, ladies and gentlemen. If you could see, look at he's smiling. He's like he's thinking, oh man,
I'm being attacked.
What a combination on the offense.
I was a big supporter of Al Toon's son. Nick Toon. Nick Looney
Cartoon.
Toon.
What?
I was a big fan. I was a big fan, and I caught a lot of grief over that. I still think he has a chance. He's coming back. He's coming back.
This is Sheriff Cooter Wilmina of the Boudreaux Parish Sheriff Gas Station Beer Bait Barbecue Barbershop Laundromat Department. You're listening to the BS and Beer Podcast with Tomas Heath and that coon-ass Dave Romero. Remember, in Boudreaux Parish, you break the law, we will find you. and there's a very good chance you will get tased.
All right, boys. I see that you guys are trying to study up on your pick'em, trying to make sure you got all your picks right. And we didn't even mention the Stone Cold Lead Pipe Lock of the Week that I provide for the people, so that in case they need to pay their mortgage, in case they got some, you know, outstanding college debt that they need to take care of, they can just listen to the show, pick the opposite of what I say, and there's a good chance. Exactly. I don't know if I got any of them right last year, but I'm gonna give it another try.
Well, that's why you called it lead pipe. Sinks right to the bottom.
That was pretty much where I was in the standings last year too. Yeah. So all right. So we talked about the graffiti hotline.
Yes, sir.
And we, you know, farting around, never got around to it. And let's give people an example. All that right. Number, 701-901-1295. Let's take a hotline call.
Hey, guys. This is William Clay calling from Down Under. Question, with the Willie Snead suspension, how will that affect the Saints offense? That's question number one. Question number two is, on your last podcast, Dave, you were in Cancun, and you mentioned that men getting up in their years needed more fruit in the diet, and you recommended some drink. I know you're not a doctor, but I believe you stayed at a Holiday Inn before. But is wine included in that recommendation?
I guess it is berries.
And my third and final question is should I get, since Christmas is just around the corner, I'll be here faster than you know, should I get a hot tub for my wife? Do you think she would enjoy that? Could you give us any advice? Thank you.
Gary, boy, he finds out. Listen, I put out, listen, we talked about and negotiated and got this thing going on ESPN. And I, you know, I let my friends know. You know, I'm excited about it. I mean, Gary found out about it. He decided to do his. I mean, he had just had his own segment.
Yeah,
he had a full. He had three questions. Yeah. First of all, when I was in Cancun, screwdriver.
Yeah.
You got to get that orange juice in your diet. Keeps you healthy.
Yeah.
I guess wine has berries in it.
Absolutely.
You're the big wine guy, Tomas.
I'm telling you. You know, resveratrol. You know, you got that inside that grape. You get yourself a nice every day. Two nice glasses of wine, Gary. We'll get it done.
Red wine.
Yeah, red wine. Has to be red wine.
He was a connoisseur of wine. I'm not a wine.
I don't like wine at all. But.
And don't get any of that Concord grape stuff that's Kool-Aid with a drop of alcohol. Get some real man wine.
Now, you get a nice box of wine.
The box! With...
Black box.
Oh, my gosh.
Hey,
Gary. Riti will be next one, right?
And the third question, I don't think I feel comfortable talking about his wife and the jacuzzi and all that stuff.
I said hot tub.
I think hot tub, same thing, man. Jacuzzi, hot tub. You know, I think that's a decision he needs to make.
I'm sure Gary knows if the wife wants the hot tub, get the wife the hot tub.
It's already a done deal. It's already a done deal. All right. So, listen, let's do a quick preview of the game against the Vikings.
All right.
That, the big game, the season opener.
Yep.
Okay, my review, we're going to kick some butt. We want to know, what do you guys have?
Huh? I'm going to agree with our running back, Mr. Peterson. It begins and ends in Minnesota.
I like it. That sounds ominous. I kind of
got revenge on his mind.
That's right. You know, Super Bowl's in Minnesota.
I got some chills,
so,
man.
There you go.
Okay,
well, of course, I like my Saints, but, you know, let's not kid ourselves. Going and playing in Minnesota on Monday night to start the season is going to be a tough task.
Well, I was looking at the stats from last year, and we can say we want offense for the Vikings, not very productive. In the preseason, they ranked number 14 on defense. On offense, 31. Last year, let's talk about some real information. They were ranked 28th on offense in yards, 23rd in points per game. But on defense, when I looked this up, it made me a little nervous. Number 3 ranked defense in the NFL, yards, and number 6 in points per game at 19.2 points a game.
Yeah.
So they can play some defense.
Yes.
Now, I feel like, look, it's going to be a tough task on the road. One of the things that in the past, I remember the Saints, and when I say in the past, I'm talking about the last 3 years. The Saints would play a team, and that team would have injuries on the offensive line, and I'm like, man, we're going to kill them. I remember playing the Carolina Panthers 1 year, and their offensive line was decimated. And I'm like, we couldn't do anything because we just didn't have a strong enough defensive line or pass rush.
Right.
The Vikings' offensive line, every single one of their starters is new. Every single one of their starters was not at that position, at least last year. Several of them weren't even on the team last year. They have a right tackle who was a first rounder from the Lions. We should ask Gary, because Gary would kind of give us an idea. Apparently he's been out with a back injury. Their left guard was a backup center last year. Their center is a third round draft pick. Their right guard is a guy who is outwardly planning on retiring. And then their right tackle is a guy who's a pretty solid ball player. So, Tomas.
All right, here's what I'm going to give you.
All right, give it to me.
Here's what I'm going
to
give you if you're going to give us a preview of the Vikings. Here's the preview of the Vikings. They drafted a fellow to fill their running back needs, Devin Cook. So you can't go by last year's statistics because they didn't have a running game last year. So you have that. You have two receivers, Thielsen, I think is his name, and Diggs.
Right.
Both of those guys, quality receivers. Sam Bradford, quality quarterback. But you brought up their Achilles heel. It's a crapshoot as far as what they're going to get on the offensive line. And I'm happy to get them early in the season because I believe that one of our strengths is our defensive line. So if anything, we'll see Cam Jordan pushing that man right back to where he's supposed to go. We're going to see Kikaha breaking around the corner. And so I think that our defensive line will outmaneuver their offensive line. Then you flip around, you say, well, you're worried about their defense. Well, yes, they have a very good defensive line. There's no doubt that their defensive line is top-notch. And I'll be interested to see how Ramczyk holds up against their defensive push. But their weakness, cornerback. You might recall that last year they had a real issue at cornerback to the point that there was a mutiny kind of thing, if you might have forgotten, that their defensive cornerback, the defensive backfield coach, called something and they were all like, the heck with that, we're going to play our own game.
Yeah.
And that was Minnesota. So, you know, and then we come to the playoff time, and this comes into mind. Because what happened when they had to kick that field goal, and they didn't make it? Remember? That's why they lost the playoff.
Yeah.
So all those things considered, I believe that the Vikings have a good team, but I'm picking the Saints.
I'm with two.
Yes, Heath? I agree. Going with the Saints. You know that.
I tell you what.
Bonnie, anything to add?
No.
He's not the best color man in the league for nothing, folks.
I've been saving that up for Heath. He's not the best color man in the business for nothing, folks.
There you go.
I tell you what. I think that it's going to be a tough game, and I keep hearing this, but I would just simply be surprised if the Saints don't win this game.
And how many points? You giving the points? We're gonna do points?
Well, we doing the
when we get to the thing?
The Pick'em League. Right, so I don't know if we want to give it away right now.
Okay.
I mean, I want to leave the people in suspense.
Ooh, okay.
In suspense. Don't forget, we got the Saints Report Threat of the Week and the Injury Report coming up soon. ESPN, Sports Talk Radio 97.7, the BS and Beer Podcast.
You're listening to the BS and Beer Podcast.
Yeah. Hey, yo, this is T-Pain. You listen to BS and Beer Podcast. Uh-huh.
Yeah. Yeah. Broke up with my girl last night, so I went to the club.
Welcome back. It's the BS and Beer Podcast here on ESPN 97.7 Sports Talk Radio. Listen. This is the point of the show where we usually do our injury report. Now, here's the thing. First of all, on Wednesday, you're not going to get a lot of injury news, especially when your team is playing on Monday night. So I don't know how much of an injury report we're really going to be able to get out. But we'll get a little something out. And then what we'll also do is we're going to talk a little Saints with SaintsReport.com. It's www.SaintsReport.com. It's by far the best Saints message board on the net. Very well moderated. These guys, I mean, they just do it right. Anyway, what we do is we find a really good thread, and then we just discuss the topic. It's usually some great discussion points. And don't forget, in the next segment, we have our NFC South report with Brian Bienemy of ESPN 100.3 FM in New Orleans. Great job. Always does fantastic covering the Bucks, the Panthers, and the Falcons. I mean, he's just a really knowledgeable guy, so he'll be with us the next segment. So let's get to our injury report.
Gloom,
is Sheriff Cooter Wilmot of the Boudreaux Parish Feed Store, Gun Shop, Used Car, Beer Bait, Barbecue, Barbershop, Laundromat Department. Now time for the New Orleans Saints Injury Report.
Alright, so as I mentioned a little bit earlier, there's not going to be much in the way of an injury report, especially on a Wednesday before a Monday night football game. So the only thing that I really want to talk a little bit about is the Teron Armstead situation. Now, we talked about it earlier in the show, but it's just this whole situation has gotten confusing because of his injury and the fact that the Saints kept him on the active roster. Good news, because it seems like he might be ready to go sooner than we thought, which basically would indicate 6 weeks of PUP, 2 weeks of preparing that he's eligible to practice. That's 8 weeks. So they obviously think he'll be back prior to that 8 weeks, although Tomas seemed to disagree. So, and he said the same thing, so it's something that we'll definitely keep our eye on. And I think it transitions nicely into the SaintsReport.com thread of the week. The thread that I selected was a thread titled Saints Resign John Kuhn. Now, here's the thing. John Kuhn is a fan favorite. He's a locker room favorite. Actually, I had a chance to talk to him when I was in New Orleans a couple of weeks ago, and I realized why he's a fan favorite. I asked him if he had any personal goals. You know, and I'm thinking he might say, hey, I'd like to get this many carries. I'd like to have this many first downs. He said to me, yes. And he just looked at me and he said, 10 wins. And I immediately just knew why. I already liked him. Now I just understand why. Not only is he a fan favorite, but he's a team favorite. But on that thread, AARP Saint, he asked, who did the Saints cut to bring Kuhn back onto the roster? Now, okay, I don't know if you guys realize it, but John Kuhn was cut with the last wave at the end of training camp. Thing about it is, because the Saints had so many moves they had to make to try, I think they felt comfortable that they could release Kuhn and that they could just re-sign them after they made a few roster moves. So it was noticed that at the time, the Saints, outside of Teron Armstead, didn't have a backup offensive tackle. Now, I'm sure, and this is something that that David M. pointed out, I'm sure they were going to use Pete as tackle depth. So in the event that either Armstead, God forbid the right tackle, because Pete didn't play very well on the right side, but he did play pretty well on the left side. So I think they should feel comfortable in the event they have to move Pete out to left tackle in the event that Ramczyk gets injured. Having said that, Pete did not play very well on the right side. He's a natural left side guy, and some guys just aren't switch hitters. They just cannot play both sides, and he's one of them. So the Saints today reported that they cut Bryce Harris. Bryce Harris gone. Now, who's the backup left tackle? Obviously, the only person left is Pete. Calamenti is another guy who has played in, let's say, extreme conditions. He was forced to play left tackle, and he played pretty well. He held up pretty well. So I think the Saints feel like if for a game or, you know, a few quarters, so if someone goes out in the fourth quarter, third quarter, that he can hold it down for the rest of the game. So it's something that's just, it's perplexing. I really wish I knew exactly what the Saints think Armstead's going to do. They must be confident he's going to return if they continue to cut the only backup tackle on the roster. Again, I say that even though we have guys playing other positions who are capable of playing left tackle. So this is something that's going to be interesting. Now, football said everyone wants to cut Harris, but we need depth until Armstead is ready to return. And so this kind of plays into the same thing that eventually I picked this thread, but eventually the answers were given to us that Bryce Harris was cut. Now, it's going to be interesting. I don't know exactly what's going to happen. It's something we just have to keep our eye on. Stu suggested that maybe the quarterback that we picked up after the last cuts from Green Bay, his name is Taysom Hill. Now, he's a project guy, and obviously the Saints saw enough of him that they actually signed him from being cut from Green Bay onto the Saints active roster. So it tells you a little bit about what the Saints thought of their backup quarterback situation, including Garrett Grayson, who was a third-round pick just a couple of years ago. So they obviously see more potential in Hill than they do in any of the guys they had on their roster. And quite frankly, based on their preseason play, I completely understand why they feel that way.
This is Sheriff Cooter Wilmot of the Boudreaux Parish Sheriff Gas Station Beer Bait Barbecue Barbershop Laundromat Department. Now back to more BS and Beer podcast. Remember our motto in Boudreaux Parish. We will find you and we will tase you.
Hey, don't forget our last segment is the Pick'em segment. You have a chance to participate in the Pick'em with us, all the BS and Beer crew and all of the Saints fans around the country. Go to Yahoo Pick'em. The league ID number is 30242. And the password, believe it or not, BSN Beer. Get in the league, $160 that you have a chance to win at the end of the season. Now, it's going to be split up against amongst several winners, but at the end of the day, it's free money. It doesn't cost anything to play. So don't forget, and not to mention, if you miss any or part of the show and you'd like to catch it later, you can find the show by looking it up on Google Play or iTunes. Just look up BSN Beer Saints, and you'll find the show there. Listen, it's the BS and Beer podcast crew on ESPN 97.7. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. Say
you're leaving on a 7:30. You're listening to the BS and Beer podcast.
BS and Beer, standing up for the little people, man.
BS and Beer podcast.
Standing up for people.
BS and Beer.
Indeed, you are powerful.
Americans are going to stand up and say,
BS and Beer.
And I'm just telling you what people are going to do.
We fight bullies.
BS and Beer podcast.
There's going to be a revolution
for the people.
BS and Beer.
There's going to be riots in the streets.
BS and Beer.
BS and Beer.
Getting ready to rise up.
BS and Beer podcast.
Come on, I'm joining them.
Now witness the firepower that this fully armed and operational
podcast.
With me, and he's been here quite a few times, the Bret Hart of Sports Talk. He covers the NFC South for ESPN 100.3 FM in New Orleans, Brian Bieniemy. Brian, how you doing, brother? Welcome to the show.
Doing well. Thanks for having me, as always.
Well, you know, you're the expert on the NFC South, and we do an NFC South report every week, and I thought there's no better person to bring in than Brian. And listen, we got Carolina, we got Atlanta, and we got Tampa Bay. Now, Tampa having a little issues with the hurricane and where they're going to play, but at this point, we're just going to go with the idea that, you know, Tampa's playing Miami, Atlanta's playing Chicago, Carolina's playing San Francisco. Give me some thoughts on where do you think this whole thing's going to go, and I'm gonna prepare you now, man. I'm going to look for a prediction for each of these teams at the end of the segment. All right, so let's get this NFC South preview going.
Hi, I'm Ricky Bobby.
And I'm Cal Naughton Jr.
We like to have a lot of laughs on the racetrack, but today we want to talk about something serious.
The NFC South, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, the Atlanta Falcons, and the Carolina Panthers.
All right, Brian, you choose where you want to go with this, brother.
I got you. No worries. We'll start with Tampa and Miami because a lot's been going on in Tampa that's been flying under the radar. Surprisingly, consider that they've been like the darlings of the NFL this offseason, especially considering that they were the team chosen to be on Hard Knocks. But a lot's going on. Their running back draft pick, Jeremy McNichols, basically booted off the team. And from what I've understood from, you know, my contacts in Tampa, basically it was a compilation of bad attitude, bad work ethic, and also just bad play, which is surprising because Tampa's going to need a running game because you cannot put the entire weight of the world on Jameis Winston's shoulders. Their offense this entire offseason has been anemic to say they have so many new weapons, and I think the biggest concern with Tampa is going to be can they handle the expectations that everyone has placed upon them, that the new audience from Hard Knocks is going to bring, that all of the media experts around the country have been just basically putting them on a pedestal saying they are the next team. And it's a lot of expectations considering that the last representatives of the NFC have come out of the NFC South as far as the Super Bowl is concerned. Tampa was that sexy pick, and now it just seems like they just can't get intact. Offense has been stagnant during the preseason, and I don't really know if that defense is going to be able to carry them considering the teams they'll be playing this season.
You know, Jameis Winston, he developed well last year, and now the expectations, like you mentioned, are high. O.J. Howard, their first-round draft pick, the guy is scary. He's a scary – I mean, maybe not now because I haven't seen a whole bunch. And you know how it is with preseason. You may not see anything because you didn't see Alvin Kamara in two games during the preseason. That doesn't mean that he's not going to be a huge impact on the season. But I'm concerned about the impact that O.J. Howard can have on this division.
I agree with you there, because the best thing you can have for a young quarterback is a really good tight end. And Jameis Winston's biggest problem has always been trying to do too much all by himself. And now you gave him, you know, an arsenal of weapons. You've got the Sean Jackson deep. You still got that 6'5 beast that is Mike Evans. And now you're giving him a tight end that can control the middle of the field. That's basically their version of Jimmy Graham and O.J. Howard. He can create a lot of matchup nightmares. And I really think that it's going to be interesting to see how Dirk Cutter is able to use him, considering that you have some of the better linebacking groups in his division. You've got Carolina. Really good linebacker group there. Atlanta's coming on with their linebacker group, and now New Orleans has improved theirs as well. Going to be interesting to see how Dirk Cutter can use O.J. Howard to kind of, you know, create matchups and manipulate the middle of the field.
Okay, so moving on, Atlanta at Chicago, the mess that is Chicago. Now, here's the thing. Any Saints fan, they're going to want us to beat up Atlanta. And I will say that I do believe I called it last year, or, you know, two seasons ago when Carolina had that just meltdown. I felt like it would have a mental effect on them, and I feel like it did. Now, maybe it wasn't the whole cause of their season going south, but I think it was part of it. Now, Atlanta, how are they going to overcome an embarrassing defeat in the Super Bowl?
I know some of the listeners out there are going to feel like this is just a New Orleans bias going on, but I'm being as honest as I can be with you guys, because I believe that's the best way to make a name for yourself. I don't think Atlanta can overcome this. It's too huge of a loss, and it's going to be the topic of every conversation before every game. Every media outlet is going to walk into that stadium, and they're going to want to interview those guys during practice leading up to the game, and one of the first things they're going to talk about, that Super Bowl loss. So it doesn't matter how much Atlanta wants to kind of, you know, quote-unquote, according to their new mantra, embrace the suck. There's no way possible you can embrace that epic of a loss, and what leads me to believe that 0-4 in the preseason. I understand the preseason isn't supposed to count, and it's meaningless games, but it says a lot that they couldn't do anything in the preseason as far as get a win, and now Atlanta has a bunch more obstacles to overcome. Their coaching staff, six new coaches, players they have to overcome, especially the loss on the offensive and defensive line. One of the greatest things about Atlanta last year was that their entire offensive line didn't miss a single game. Now you take away starting right guard Chris Chester, you replace him with Wes Welker, who's never started a single game, and by the way, he's moving from left tackle to right guard. That's going to be a really, really big thing for them, because their offensive line is predicated on being that zone blocking scheme, getting athletic guys out in the front to get into the second level. I don't really know if Atlanta can, and the biggest obstacle they have to overcome, the NFC South in and of itself is a tough division, probably the hardest division in football. Well, for the Atlanta Falcons now, you don't just have to worry about the NFC South. Now you're going to get everybody's best shot.
Absolutely, as a team that played in the Super Bowl. Now listen, the thing is, they are still a very talented team, and I realize, and I don't want to make this sound like I'm disagreeing with you, because I actually do agree with you, just mentally. And that's the thing that I think the average fan looks at football, NFL football, like a video game. They think just everything's in a bubble and nothing matters. This guy's fast, this guy's strong, and he's going to be productive. The fact of the matter is, there's a lot of mental toughness that goes into football, and these distractions do affect teams. Having said that, they're playing the Chicago Bears, led by Mike Glennon, and if he doesn't cut the mustard, they can always turn to Mark Sanchez.
Yeah, I'll say this, and I understand that I'm supposed to be a, you know, 100% Falcon hater all of the time. Not going to happen this time around. I believe Atlanta is going to basically just hot knife meets butter when it comes to them playing Chicago.
Sure.
Mike Glennon's first pass in the preseason, pick six going the other way. Mark Sanchez, we all remember Mr. Butt Fumble himself. Chicago's biggest gamble should have been their best bet, which was going with Mitchell Trubisky. You have nothing to lose in that scenario except for the money you paid Mike Glennon, and you found out exactly why Tampa was willing to let him walk. I totally think that Atlanta's going to run right through Chicago in this game, and I don't even think it's going to be close.
Yeah, I agree with you. It's going to be – it's just – when you're just void of talent like Chicago is right now, you know, listen, a talent team's going to beat you. Two bad teams get together, one of them has to win. Atlanta's much more talented. I think Atlanta's problem is really going to come in when they start playing the tougher teams who can compete with them talent-wise. And so that puts them in a position where's the edge now? It's no longer what it was last year. And I will say this, too. You brought it up about their offensive line. Atlanta had a lot of good luck last year. I'm not taking away from their talent, because I, like you, I try not to be a homer. Having said that, there are things that are just factual. At the end of the day, if you can stay healthy, that's a huge benefit to being a successful team.
You know, I think something that's going to go overlooked in this entire situation is one of the things I alluded to in my open, which is Atlanta has six new coaches on the staff. Steve Sarkisian has taken over for Kyle Shanahan, and you know, say what you will about Kyle Shanahan and his play calling during the Super Bowl, but he and Matt Ryan seemed to find a really good rhythm last year as far as the play call and the execution. I don't know if Steve Sarkisian could just come in and duplicate that type of chemistry and success in his first season. Not to mention, you're looking at the defensive coordinator also being replaced, and now you have to bring in a new guy and have him call a defensive play. That defense is what really kind of, you know, even though they were the 25th ranked defense in the NFL last year, it still seemed to be that Atlanta made the plays when they had to. I don't really know if that can be duplicated. Sometimes you're a one-hit wonder.
All right, so we only have about a minute and a half to go, Brian. Go ahead and tell me what you think about Carolina-San Francisco.
I think if Carolina can run the ball and you know, basically dominate defensively, they'll be just fine. I think Cam Newton, they're going to try to take the pressure off of him by running the ball because they still are trying to institute him in that new quick-strike offense. Carolina's defense is going to be able to have to hold up on the back end because their defensive line is going to be formidable as ever. Their linebackers should be back and healthy, especially with Luke Kuechly back in the middle. So if Carolina can run the ball, control the clock, and make sure Cam doesn't have to overexert himself throwing a football, especially still learning that new offense, they should walk through the 49ers, who I just don't see as a formidable team at this point. They'll be probably one of the upper teams in the draft this coming draft.
Yeah, I agree with you. It's one of those things where as long as Carolina shows up, plays solid football, and doesn't do anything to beat themselves, they have the defense to make it happen. I'm talking to Brian Bienemy. You can find him on Twitter at Brian. That's spelled B-R-Y-A-N-T-N-R. That's how you find him on Twitter. Brian, one last thing here. We got maybe 30 seconds. Give me your predictions on those teams in NFC South.
I'm going to say Carolina wins over the 49ers. Still up in the air with that Tampa game. I think Atlanta wins. And, of course, I think the Saints will win Monday night against the Vikings.
All right. There you go. You got his picks. Brian, thank you so much. We'll talk to you next week, man. Look forward to it.
Will do. Thank you, brother.
All right. That's Brian Bienemy. He's our NFC South expert. We bring him in every week. Let him talk a little Panthers. Let him talk a little Atlanta. Let him talk a little Tampa Bay. I tell you what, this is a tough division. It's going to be hard to win it, regardless of how improved we are. We have some tough teams to play this year, and it's going to be interesting to see how this plays out because we could be a much better team, and we end up beating each other up in this division. It's going to be a challenge all year long. Hey, this is the BS and Beer podcast crew. We're live at the SEC Sports Pub, ESPN 97.7. Y'all don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
You're listening to the BS and Beer podcast.
All right, welcome back. ESPN Sports Talk 97.7 and the BS and Beer podcast crew here. Tomas Mauricio.
Yes, sir.
Heath Elson-San. I'm Dave Romero, and I'm your host. What?
He hasn't made a mistake yet. He has pointed right every single time.
Right. Listen, 2 years of
He's
doing
been
this
practicing.
Show.
Uh-huh, it,
listen, if you guys wanted some laughs, go back 2 years ago, and the confusion was ridiculous.
Couldn't even get our name right.
No, couldn't even. Well, listen. First of all, Heath has a name of some Asian guy.
Asian guy.
Elson-san. Who's Elson-san? You know, who?
German.
And, German.
I mean, but still. And then Tomas Mauricio. I don't even know what that is. I mean, now it sounds simple, but back then that's very complicated stuff.
A lot of vowels in there.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm not a dreamer, though, but that's okay.
Oh, God. We do not. Okay, so I was going to say I stole his song.
Yeah.
I forgot.
Yeah.
Living in America.
That's right.
Tomas does his own radio show. It's a political radio show. We don't do politics here at the BS and Beer podcast.
Right.
But I stole his music and I didn't realize it till he's like, hey, that's my stuff. Yeah, yeah. Then talking about that kind of, we don't go there.
All
we
right.
don't go there.
No, we don't go there.
All right. But where we do go is to the picks.
All right. Let's
Who's
hit it.
Ready? Let's do
I'm
it.
Ready.
Here's our pick segment. I decided to start with the two greatest picks in Saints history.
Brett Favre goes back to pass. He pumps. Now he fires over the middle. Intercepted. I can't believe what I'm seeing right now. It was intercepted by Tracy Porter, near side to the 40, and John Sullivan runs him down at the 47-yard line.
All right, let's get to the pick'em. This is how we make the money. This is how we pay for all the equipment on the show. This is how we, whatever it is that we do, because we're so good at it.
Yeah, whatever it is.
Not, I think there were like 50-some-odd people in
last year's, yeah.
Yeah, and I think I finished like 62. I think I said that about the Saints one time. It's like,
I think Heath was the best of the three of us.
No, Heath, yeah.
Because he was 62, I was 60, and he was like, you know, 55.
Yeah. That's about close to what it was. He might have been in the high 30s,
though. I was
though.
In the teens, man.
Your teens.
Did you make it up to the teens?
Like 17 or something.
17.
Like
oh, okay.
17, just like you like them, buddy.
No, yeah, I think. All right, go ahead.
Here we go. All right, so we got Kansas City at New England, and Kansas City's getting 8.5 points.
Yep.
Heath.
So I went with New England.
All right. Tomas.
Chiefs.
Chiefs. I went with the Chiefs as well. All right, moving on. We have the New York Football Jets. Anyway, at the Buffalo Bills. Tomas, 9.5 points the Jets are getting.
Not enough. I go with mozzarella.
Yeah. Heath?
Yeah, I got Buffalo.
Yeah, I got Buffalo. I got any team playing
the Jets.
Yeah, playing the Jets. That's just simple as that. Then we have a division team here, Atlanta at Chicago, and Chicago's getting 7 points. Some big spreads this week.
Yeah.
I'll go first on this one, and as much as I hate to do it, I'll pick Atlanta and give up the points.
Yeah. I went the same way. I got Atlanta.
Okay.
I'm a homer. Go Bears.
Go Bears. Homer Bear. All right. So then we got the Baltimore Ravens at Cincinnati, and Baltimore's getting 3 points. Tomas.
No Flacco. I go Cincinnati.
Okay. Heath.
Yep, I got the Bengals.
I got the Bengals as well. It's a sweep. Then we have the Pittsburgh Steelers at the juggernaut that is the Cleveland Browns. Cleveland only getting 10 points in this.
Yeah.
I mean, I sometimes forget it's the NFL. These are a lot of big spreads for the NFL, especially game one. Heath.
I don't think 10 points is enough for Cleveland and Deshaun Kaiser, so I'm going to take Pittsburgh.
Okay.
Yeah.
Tomas?
Well, even though Cleveland improved itself when it cut Osweiler.
Yes.
yeah. I still addition don't by think subtraction. I'm in agreement with my friend Heath. Not enough points. Go Pittsburgh Steelers.
I agree with you. I went with Pittsburgh as well. Cleveland just – I don't know how you can pick that team. You just can't. Arizona at Detroit, and there is no line or it's a pick 'em game.
Pick 'em, yeah.
Tomas?
I'm going to go with Gary's team. Give me some Detroit Lions.
All right.
That big contract.
I'm backing up Gary, too. I got Detroit.
Man, it's a clean sweep for Gary's team, the Detroit Garys. no line on that either. It's a push 'em game, even game. All right. So then we have the Oakland Raiders at Tennessee. Oakland getting a point. Heath?
I'm going to take that point and go with Oakland.
All right. Tomas?
Not enough Skittles for me. I'm going with Tennessee.
Tennessee. I'm going with Oakland. I don't know why, but I feel better about them. They're actually a pretty good team. Last year, I think they kind of arrived last year.
I agree with the playing in Tennessee, and I think Tennessee's going to be an up-and-coming team this year.
Yeah, okay. All right, so then we have Philadelphia at Washington, another pick 'em game. Heath.
I got the Redskins at home.
All right. Tomas.
I'm agree with that.
Okay, I got the Redskins as well. Then we're going to move on. Jacksonville at Houston. Tomas.
Well, I'm going to take Houston. Even though Jacksonville might score, maybe, I don't know what. But, yeah, okay.
I want to watch my boy Fournette run a little bit, see how he does.
Yeah, well, if he does.
If he does.
Yeah, that's true,
he's
too.
Not gonna play.
Yeah.
I got Houston.
Okay. I got Houston as well. Especially after the hurricane, good to see that they're playing at home, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Indianapolis at the Los Angeles Rams. All this stuff is very challenging to say. Indianapolis is getting 3 points. Tomas?
No luck, no win. Go with the Rams.
I like that.
Yeah, I like it. I got LA as well.
Yeah,
the Rams.
I have the Rams. Indianapolis, man, they're just a mess. Boy, I remember when they got Luck, and it was like, golly, how does this happen?
Yeah.
You go from Manning to Luck, and it's
just –
went
from suck for Luck to suck with Luck.
I like it. Man, a lot of big, interesting games this week. Seattle at Green Bay. Seattle getting 3 points. Heath.
I'm going to take Green Bay at home.
All right. Tomas.
I agree. Scott's team. Green Bay.
Call it a sweep. I'm taking Scott's team and Green Bay to win this game, giving up 3 points. Okay. Then we have Carolina, which is Tomas's favorite team. I'm going to use a page out of his playbook.
Yep.
No, that's your team. Atlanta's not my
man, I tell you, if there's a team I don't like, I couldn't like them any less. That's everybody's a big Atlanta hater. I'm not a fan of Atlanta, but I just have a disdain for Carolina.
What was that score again? 28-3?
Yeah. You know
what?
I think we went this whole show and forgot to mention it.
Though UCLA scored all those points in last week's game, you would have thought that that might have erased the blunt. No.
No, 28-3. It didn't do anything for them. All right, so Carolina at San Francisco. San Francisco only getting 5.5 points. That's interesting.
Yeah.
Heath?
Well, as much as I hate to do it, I have Carolina.
All right, Tomas?
Sorry.
Can't do it?
49ers.
Here's the thing. I cannot see the 49ers. I mean, I don't think they're equipped to beat Carolina. I think Carolina can be beat, but I don't think the San Francisco 49ers are equipped to do it. 5.5 points, that just doesn't I'm gonna pick the team that's playing San Francisco.
Okay.
Yeah, some camo-fed. Mm-hmm. Let's see. Okay, moving on. The New York Football Giants against the Dallas, another big game against the Cowboys.
Yep.
New York getting 3 points. Heath.
Not enough. I got the Cowboys at home.
Do you?
It pains me to pick the Cowgirls, but I got to go with the Cowgirls.
You know what? They used to be the team I hate. I just don't hate them that much anymore.
No.
But I'm going with the Giants. I'm picking the Giants. I'm going the opposite way.
Hmm.
All right. So now we have the Los Angeles
Chargers.
Chargers. Golly, that's hard to say.
I
literally had a brain lock, and I'm like, LAC. You know,
the Clippers?
The Clippers. How do you think about that? That's pretty quick of you. So the Los Angeles Chargers at the Denver Broncos, 3 points going to the Chargers.
Yeah.
They're getting three. Yeah. Tomas.
I'm going to take the Chargers. I actually believe they have a decent team this year that might get past the jinxes that they had last year. So I'm going to take the Chargers and the 3 points.
Heath?
Not enough. I'm going with Denver.
I'm going with Denver as well.
Yeah.
And then the big game of the week, it's the New Orleans Saints. Your New Orleans Saints at the Minnesota Vikings. New Orleans getting 3 points.
Yeah.
That's your standard
points.
Well,
you got to learn how to say New Orleans.
New Orleans.
No, New Orleans.
No.
I know,
you
keep saying that.
New Orleans.
Cool ass.
Yeah.
All right.
Heath?
I got my Saints.
Okay.
Can I pick any other team, my brother?
No, you cannot.
I am a Saints fan through and through.
Okay. So
matter of fact, don't even need the three.
Don't even need the three.
Hey.
Let's. I need some scores. I need some scores. Heath?
For the Saints?
Yes.
31-21 Saints.
Tomas.
Wow. That's pretty close to what I was going to say. I think it's going to be 34-17 Saints.
I have 34-16. 34-16.
Okay. Minnesota?
Yeah. Three field goals. They can't get in the end zone.
Oh, he's picking Minnesota?
No. Wait, come on now. Stop. 13 points from Minnesota.
So, okay. So you said now, what was the score again you gave?
34-16.
Oh, you had to get 1 point less than I did. I said, okay.
All right, that means anything to you.
Yeah.
We did it. All right. So there's the pick 'em for the week. Tomas, what's the information? Where's that number? You have that number? It is the code number for the Yahoo Pick'em League. 30242, and the password is BSN beer. I tell you what, all lowercase. Man, it's been fun. It's been a great show.
Yep.
Our first one here on ESPN 97.7.
Mm-hmm.
Looking forward to doing it again next week.
Absolutely.
Yep.
Join us every Wednesday, and this right here is what you'll get. Hopefully, better and more fun. And every once in a while, Tomas doesn't show up, and then it's really fun.
Yeah.
I'm kidding, buddy. Anyway, it's been a great time. You've been listening to the BS and Beer Podcast. We'll catch you next week.
Later.
And anyway, the person who sits here is but the most conspicuous member of a superb team of journalists, writers, reporters, editors, producers, and none of that will change. Furthermore, I'm not going away. I'll be back.
And that's the way it is.